الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers, elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace and salutations be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has once again blessed us with this wonderful and auspicious day of Jumu'ah. We remind ourselves of the words of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِ شَمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ. The best day in which the sun can rise is the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within our hearts the respect and honor of this wonderful day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to send abundant durood upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a daily basis, but more so on this wonderful day of Jumu'ah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to capitalize on the opportunity that presents itself on this wonderful day of Jumu'ah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a moment of acceptance of dua on this Friday, this day of Jumu'ah. And many of the scholars are of the opinion that that moment of acceptance is the final moments of the day of Jumu'ah. There are other opinions as well with regards to the moment of acceptance, but the most common is the final moments of the day of Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to take this opportunity to place our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And definitely, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill our needs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. And there again, we find ourselves edging closer to the wonderful month of Ramadan. And then the dua of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to mind, where 2 months before the month of Ramadan, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban, but make us reach the month of Ramadan. So we've seen the month of Rajab, we've seen most of the month of Sha'ban. We're so close, oh Allah, make us all see the month of Ramadan. We should recite this dua as often as possible. And if we just take a small survey and we see from the first of Rajab right until today, how many Muslims have left this world from the Ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In our town alone in the past week or so, how many people have left this world? When we see a janazah in this time of the year, then we should recite this dua more eagerly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that oh Allah, we're so close, we've seen the month of Sha'ban, let us see the blessed month of Ramadan, but more importantly, let us all make intention that we will take maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan, and we will make it extremely useful to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created insan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this world. Now if we study the life of a human being, his entire life can be narrowed down into three parts or three dimensions. One is man's relationship with his family members. The second is his relationship with his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third is his relationship with mankind. So it can be narrowed down to these three dimensions. Your relationship with your family members, your relationship with your creator, and your relationship with mankind, those around you, those who you interact with. Inshallah, during the course of today's talk, we will go through a wonderful story that is mentioned in the hadith narrated by Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we study the story, we will find that there's a lot of benefit that we can take from this. There's a lot of lesson that can be learnt. And the other thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given man the ability to do good and the ability to do bad. And if man disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he does something wrong, then his evil deeds and his sin definitely has a bad effect on his life, and he will be taken to task if he does not seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for those deeds before he leaves this world. Whereas when a man does good, first and foremost, he has to acknowledge that the mere fact that he was granted the ability to do something good, that itself is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not that something we did on our own or we chose to do, rather it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that he inspired us or he allowed us to carry out his act of obedience. So we don't attribute that entirely to ourselves, rather this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when a man does a good deed, then obviously this draws goodness from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this draws mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But over and above that, when a person carries out a good deed, then that deed is extremely beneficial to him as a Muslim. It's beneficial to his life in this world. It's more beneficial for him in the year after, provided this act of good was done solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there's many times man finds himself in a problem, he finds himself in a situation, and he is desperate for the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when this desperation comes and when this time comes, man needs the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To aid us in drawing the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can use those deeds that we have done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we will learn from the story. To quickly begin the story, it's a bit lengthy, we'll try and cover it to the best of our ability. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once narrated to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he said, "Intalaqa thalathatu nafarin mimman kana qablakum." In previous times, there were three people who had set out on a journey from one point to another. Now we know in those days, it was not as advanced as it is nowadays, where traveling is so easy. And even in today's time, when traveling is so easy and we travel in the lap of luxury at very, very high speeds and we traverse the world in a few hours, still man gets tired and he requires a certain time to break during his journey and to have a rest. So if he's going to Joburg, he'll stop for a little while at a garage just for a rest, for a breather, to freshen up, and thereafter to continue his journey. Now we can imagine in those times when traveling was difficult, how much more people needed that break and needed to stop. But there was not the facilities that are available at our disposal. So these three people, while traveling through the desert, they were tired, they needed to take a rest. So they decided that they will enter the cave of a mountain that was on their pathway, and they will rest for a short while and they will continue their journey. But it so happened they entered this cave, فَدَخَلُوهُ, and the moment they entered this cave, فَانْحَضَرَتْ صَخْرَةٌ مِّنَ الْجَبَلِ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that from the top of the mountain a huge rock, a boulder fell, and it fell in such a manner that it completely sealed off the entrance to the cave. Now this was after they had entered. Now a huge rock falls on the entrance, they are trapped, and there's no way that they can come out from this cave. So they quickly assess the situation and they realize that now this is a life-threatening situation. It's practically impossible for them to move this rock or for them to come out from this cave. And even in today's time of man's advancement and technology and with his heavy artillery and sophisticated equipment, it's difficult for him to move and carve through a mountain. He requires dynamite, it's such a gruesome task to move a rock or to cut a pathway through a mountain. That's in today's times. Imagine how much more difficult it was at that time. So they assess the situation and they come to the conclusion that إِنَّهُ لَا يُنْجِيكُم مِّنْ هَذِهِ صَخْرَ إِلَّا أَن تَدْوَى اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِصَالِحِ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. That there's absolutely no hope for us to come out from this situation except if we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we use one of our good deeds. By virtue of us using one of our good deeds, we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps us in this absolutely hopeless situation. Our lives are in danger, there's absolutely no hope, you can't phone for help, there's nothing that we can do. Let's call on to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make that phone call. So each man takes a corner and now he begins his conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we go through each person's individual conversation, as I mentioned in the beginning, there's a lot of lesson for us to learn from these three individuals. So the first man goes to his corner, he raises up his hands and he says, Allahumma kana li abawani shaykhani kabiran. Oh Allah, I had two very old and aged parents. Just a quick profile on this individual, the first man that's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a woodcutter by trade. Every day his habit would be that he would go out, cut trees, that was part of his living, that was his job. He would come back, thereafter he would milk the animals that were at his disposal, he would milk the goats or the sheep, and he would come home And the first thing that he would do is, he would present the food to his parents before anybody else. After a long and tiring day, he would present the food to his parents. After they had eaten to their full, then he would feed his children. He himself would eat. And thereafter, if anybody else, anybody else needed to be seen to, they were seen to. But he would first start with his parents. That's his daily practice. That was his daily routine. And then he says, فَنَآ بِي طَلَبُ الشَّجَرِ يَوْمًا. One day I went out in search of trees and I lost track of time. فَلَمْ أُرِحْ عَلَيْهِمَا حَتَّى نَامَا. He says, I lost track of time and by the time I came back home, I found my parents fast asleep. Now I got the food ready, I came to them, but they were fast asleep. Now let's quickly pause for a moment and let's assess this man's life. A man who's managing all the various aspects of his life. He's a father on the one hand, he's a businessman on the other hand, but he's first and foremost a child of his parents. Now at that age of him having responsibilities of his own, having a family of his own, running a business, still look to what extent he's looking after his old and aged parents. To the level that nobody must eat until his parents eat. And it's very easy, there's many people, alhamdulillah, that may be financially taking care of their old and aged parents. That's, alhamdulillah, a wonderful thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those individuals that are doing that. And they will definitely see the blessing of that. But over and above the financial assistance of his parents, remember he was housing them in his home, so he was financially taking care of them. But this is the personal touch of a child, that he would come himself and present the food to them, make them eat their food first, and thereafter feed everybody else in his family. Now it's this extra added touch that is really required in today's times. It's very easy to offer monetary assistance to individuals, but for you to give that personal touch to your parents, and for you to serve them in the manner that they served you when you were young, that's the call of the hour, and that's what we need to bring again in society. And a person very wisely said, he said, take care of your parents, look after them with the best of love and care, you will only know their value when you see their empty chair. Treat them with the best of love and care, because you will only realize their true value when you see their empty chair. Now this was this man's daily habit. And now he comes home late, he has the food ready, but his parents are fast asleep. Now it was very easy for him to go and wake them up and say, Mom, Dad, the food is here, let's eat. He says, I looked at them sleeping, فَكَرِهْتُ أَنْ أُوْقِظَهُمَا. I never had the heart to break the sleep of my parents. I didn't want to wake them up. How could I wake them up after they had fallen off to sleep? I didn't want to disturb that sleep. And then he says, now I'm in a fix. I don't know what to do because everybody else is hungry. Everybody is waiting in line. وَأَنْ أُغْبِقَ قَبْلَهُمَا أَهْلًا وَلَا مَالًا. And how can I give anybody else to eat when my parents haven't eaten? Now, under normal circumstances, there would have been absolutely nothing wrong for him to change the tartib on one occasion, or to change the sequence of things and give his children to eat, or wake his parents up and let them eat. There would have been nothing wrong. But this is the level of the man's respect, love and honor for his parents. He says, I sat وَالْقَدَحُ عَلَىٰ يَدِي أَنْتَذِرُ إِسْتِقَاظَهُمَا. I sat at their bedside waiting for them to wake up so that they could eat their food. My children were hungry, they were asking for the food, but I just couldn't give it to them before my parents. So he waited and he waited, hatta bariqa al-fajr, until the entire night had passed. And then his parents woke up at the break of dawn. They see the son sitting there with food. He says, Mom, Dad, there's your food, please eat. They ate to their full. Thereafter I fed my children. Thereafter I ate. And then he says, oh Allah, in kuntu fa'altu thalika ibtigha'a wajhik. If I had done this deed solely and only for you, the fact that I waited the entire night with the food on my lap so that my parents could eat first, if I had done this solely for your pleasure,